a word on my heart for a couple of weeks now. In fact, I've never, since I heard it, it's been impressed on my heart and my spirit. It's a word that we have heard so many times. And I hope it's been impressed on your heart, because you'll need it if it has not. I'm not talking about memorizing it and knowing where it comes, but the truth of it. And I have experienced, particularly recently, the truth of it, the reality of it. And I hope you too will experience that. And that is, I'm talking about John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer, what he prayed, his last prayer, before he went to his death. The last prayer, the last words, and the last request that he makes of the Father. John 17 and verse 23. And verse 22, it says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one." That's part of it. But the important part of that prayer, that cannot happen if this does not happen. If we don't experience this, verse 23, "I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know," listen to it carefully, "it's a word, so that the world may know you sent me and you love me even as you have loved." You love me as you, that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. That prayer has been answered. More and more you and I believe it and are gripped with this truth, and this is impressed in our hearts. The world comes to know these people are different. We have a Father, and the Father loves you and me as much as he loved Jesus. Like I said, so when we go through trials and face temptations to doubt and so many things God allows along our way, that's when we need to not suddenly believe it, but we have believed it and living in it, that comes to life. Then I know the Father loves me as much as he loved Jesus and loves you and me before the foundations were laid. Before the foundations were laid, that's how he loved Jesus. And that's how he loves you. If you have been redeemed by his blood, you've been bought with a price, you've been born again, then you have become the Father's blood-bought son, Father's blood-bought daughter. This is the keystone. You know, that word keystone is a very important word, an important part of a building, of an arch, actually. People talk about a keystone address. That means, you know, something important. everything holds together with that. And in an arch, there is a keystone which holds that arch together. If that is not there, the arch comes tumbling down. And I would call this the keystone of our Christian life and a personal relationship with our Father. But we can only come into it when we understand the new covenant. Otherwise, it's outside. The keystone that the Father loves me as much as He loved Jesus. To believe it, experience it in all reality, whatever may happen, whatever may happen, whatever has to be done, which I'm not in control of, the Father's in control. Like He was in control of everything. They couldn't kill Jesus before His time. He couldn't die before His time. I told one doctor this some time back. I said, "You can't put me to sleep forever. That's in somebody else's head." I was so confident, whatever it is. There was a little bit of confusion there. And no doctor can lengthen your life. No doctor can put you to sleep. No doctor can end your life. God has allotted the number of days you have to live on this earth. Not only the number of days, but the work He has for you to do on this earth. Whatever it may be. Maybe just being a mother and a housewife. And maybe just going to the office, you don't have any position in the church. That's the work He has for you to do. So, to believe that the Father loves me as much as He loved Jesus. He has no favorites. No favorites. Not even Jesus was His favorite. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. I really want to, I'm not saying something, you know, that is just to tickle your ears. My brother, sister, if this is imprinted on your heart, then no matter what comes your way, no matter what comes your way, you cannot be moved. I have a Father who loves me as much as He loved Jesus. The devil will do everything to move us or to break this lock. Like I said, the keystone is the locking stone. The keystone address is the central part of a dress of a conference or whatever it is. Something important. To not just understand it, but to be gripped with this. I tell you, it has changed my life. It's changed the way I deal with situations and situations that I can't handle. It's changed my attitude completely. Then that you don't resist, but you yield to circumstances and situations. And that is what God has taught me. That is what the Lord has taught me. And I want to say to all of you, if you are gripped with this, you will not be stubborn and resist whatever it is, the situation in your workplace or something in the home. You sisters, you learn to yield and not constantly get into conflict. And know that you have a Father who is in control of everything. Everything, the way your husband speaks to you, the way he does things or does not do things. Same thing for husbands. The way your wife treats you, she doesn't do something, she doesn't cook properly. The Father is in control of everything. If you are gripped with this, you will not become one who is always getting into conflict. Your home will be a home of peace. You will have a little bit of heaven in your home. This is the keystone. I have a Father who controls every little thing in my life. Even the hairs of my head are all numbered. I really want you, my dear brothers, you've heard this. I want you to really take it seriously. You're coming to the end. And if you're not allow God to bring you into the reality of this, you're going to be shaken. Something can happen in the home, in your personal life. It's going to shake you. And I thank the Lord. He's prepared me different situations. But I will not be shaken. Whatever may happen. I'm on the way there. And I want to encourage you to walk this way, so that the day will come when everything is going to be shaken, you will not be shaken. This is the keystone. And the devil will always come and say, did God really say that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus? He loves you, yes, but as much as he loves Jesus, and that you can say back to him, yes, as much as he loved Jesus. John 17:23. Not only that the devil will know, but the world around, and people around will come to know that you have somebody who takes care of you. And so the devil will throw all kinds of challenges, see what you're going through. Why is this happening to you? Why has God allowed this sickness? Why has God allowed this to happen in your home, your family? Why has God allowed you to face that situation, that financial situation? Why has God allowed me to lose my job? And the devil will say, he loves you as much as he loved Jesus. And why did you lose your job? Why are you going through such tough times? You can always shout back to Satan and say, it doesn't change the fact. John 17:23. The Father loves me as much as he loved Jesus. Know it. Let the world, let your colleagues, let the people around you know it. Let your family know it. That you have a Father who loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And the Message Bible, it says that, I'm reading from the Message, it says that I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me, you and me. For lest you think this is only for the disciples, those 12 disciples, or the early church. I'm praying not only for them, but also for the, verse 21, for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me, and give the godless world evidence that you sent me and love them in the same way, in the same way you love me. I like how the Message Bible brings it out. That this godless world will have evidence that you sent me and loved them in the same way you have loved me. And there's a word in Isaiah 43 that brings out what John 17:23 says. You know, some of the prophets, you know, saw the new covenant from far away. and saw the relationship that God was going to have with His people. They saw it. Hebrews says, they saw it from afar. Though they could not come into it, they were thinking of us. And there's one word that, a lovely word, they've heard it before, and I've always treasured it, Isaiah 43. If you want to look at it, Isaiah 43, and verses 1 to 4, the message. Sometimes the message brings out truths so powerfully. And this is one that helped me to see the relationship that John 17:23, that God wants to have with us. And Isaiah prophesied. And the prophets prophesied of this. They couldn't taste it. They couldn't experience what you and I can experience, that we can have a Father who loves us as much. Jesus has not come then, but as much as He loved Jesus. Even to be loved as much as He loved the prophets Isaiah and all, people coveted it for it. But think of the privilege that we have, that Jesus, who came and manifested the Father to us, loves us as much as He loved Jesus. And here we see in Isaiah 43, it says in verses 1 to 4, it says in a message, but now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, put your name there. Put your name there. The God who made you in the first place. I put my name there, Ian. The one who got you started, Ian. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God. Isn't that beautiful? That's not pie in the sky. That's not a fairy story. This is real. This is how it is. This is John 17:23. I'm your personal God. So, whatever you go through, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. You will not go down, no matter what the devil says. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel. I paid a huge price for you. All of Egypt, these are countries, rich, Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'll sell off the whole world to get you back when you stray, when you backslide. You believe that? He's paid a huge price for you, my dear brother and sister, not silver and gold. His precious blood, His life that He gave on the cross for you, that you and I can become sons and daughters of the living God. I praise the Lord. And all this I have tasted and continuing to taste. And I want to encourage you to enter into that relationship, my brothers and sisters. You will not be shaken. You'll tend to be shaken, like it says in Psalm. I will not be greatly shaken, But then you will come to a place where I will not be shaken. So, it says there, reading on from the message, well, Isaiah 43, read it if you have the Message Bible, and really be blessed with it. So that's how God says, I'll sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. Not selling off the whole world, but I'll trade the creation just for you. For you personally. That's how much I love you. Oh, I tell you, it blesses my heart. It makes me more so secure that whatever happens, all I need to do is surrender, yield. I want to say that to you, my dear brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, and however tough things may get, you may not need this world now, but in the coming days, remember this. That's how much He loves you. God is willing to sell off the whole world for you, to get you back, to make you His. He's willing to trade creation, all that He's made, just for you. That's how much I love you. And in verse 10, in the Message Bible, it says, Isaiah 43, it says, you're my handpicked servant. Oh, you say, I'm not like Brother Zag, who I'm not called for this, I'm not called for that. But He has chosen you for whatever it is. He's chosen you. You're my handpicked servant. And going back there. So that you'll come to know and trust me and understand both that I am and who I am. Think of that, my brother. God has chosen you, whatever it is He's called you to do on this earth. You're His handpicked servant, whom I have chosen, so that you'll come to know and trust me and understand both that I am and who I am. That was the message. And going back, there's a word that liberated me recently. You know, when God says all this, then He has to take special protection, give special protection. You know, they have what they call a special protection force. Certain people are under SPG or something it is. And the special protection, they are handpicked, and there are those who have been chosen to protect them. It's a very responsible job. So that's how it is, and that's what God says to us. So if these people on earth who are dignitaries or special people, VVIP and whatever else, we're much, much more than that. We have been given special protection, and that's a word that the Lord gave me through somebody that liberated me. You know, the devil, like I said, uses all the circumstances and situations to trouble us and to try and shake us and make us think that it's not true that the Father loves me as much as I love Jesus. You know, that word that really helped me and freed me and liberated me is Zechariah chapter 9. I'd like you to turn, you can turn to it, but the Amplified brings it better. Out better. Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 8 and 9. This is where we see we have special protection. The Lord says, Zechariah chapter 9, 8, 9. The Lord says, I will camp around my house as a guard, and no oppressor will overrun them. because my eyes are upon them to protect them. So rejoice greatly. I don't have to be afraid that this is from the devil. The devil is troubling me. The devil is troubling my family, troubling my children, and be constantly in fear and anxiety and worry. This word, I tell you, I don't know how to explain how it liberated me. I praise God. It brought such liberty. It brought a new lease of life to me in a particular situation. And the Lord says, reading again, Zechariah 9, 8 and 9, I will camp around my house as a guard. No oppressor. You don't have to fear the devil, the oppression. He may try to oppress you, but he cannot, because there's a special eye on you. There's a special protection force taking care of you. Remember that, my dear brothers and sisters. Remember, this is God's word. That's how God takes care of his people. So why are you afraid what the devil will do and, you know, and what will happen? There's a special protection force. God is looking after you. He says, no oppressor will overrun them because my eyes are upon them to protect them. So rejoice greatly. Sometimes we take our eyes off Jesus and the fact that that I am loved, the Father loves me as much as he loved Jesus. Like those two disciples on the way to Emmaus. You know, because of all that happened, they couldn't even recognize Jesus when he came near. And they talked with him and said, don't you know what's happened? The things. And we can be occupied with things. You can read that in Luke, in chapter 22. The things that have happened. And then Jesus walks with them for nearly 3 hours, and they don't even see him, recognize him, till at last, when he sat down with them, and they broke bread, and they probably saw the nail scars in his hand. And then he said to them, Have you not understood the things that all that the prophets have written? And then they saw that those 3 hours, their hearts were burning within them. So sometimes, because of trial and trouble and difficulties and that we go through, our eyes become dim. They need to be opened. There's a lovely word in Psalm 46. 46 is a favorite word of mine. You know, be still and know that I am God. You know that psalm. The Message Bible paraphrases it very well at the Psalm 46:10. It says, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. And that's what you and I need to do sometimes. Step out of the traffic. Oh, there's a huge traffic jam. And you're about to panic. The best thing to do, be still. Not create a worse traffic jam, but look where you can get out of it. Bangalore is the best place to experience that. Don't sit there, because you'll be in trouble. But look for a way where you can get out of that. Step out. Step out of the traffic. And sometimes, spiritually, that is what we have to do. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God. take a long, loving look at me, your high God. And then you come to see that you've got a Father who loves you. He loves you as much as he loved Jesus. And drink of that love. Then continue to drive again, spiritually. And I believe sometimes we've got to do that. And that favorite word of mine in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. I think of it, I don't just think of it, but I obey it. Whenever a man or a woman, a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Like I said, sometimes our eyes grow dim. We don't hear God speaking to us. We are so occupied with the things that are happening around us and the problems and difficulties and whatever is the situation we face that we don't see Jesus who is right there beside us. So whenever a person turns to the Lord, there's a veil that comes over our eyes, and that veil has to be taken away. And it says, the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Holy Spirit. That's why I say you can't believe John 17:23. You can't experience it without the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. You need an immersion. You need to be immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit so that the veil is taken away, that you can see the glory of Jesus. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 to 18 tells us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We are liberated, like I was just saying, how that word freed me. And the veil dropped from my eyes. And then it all came together. The keystone. God loves me as much as he loved Jesus. We see the glory of Jesus, and we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Not we just don't admire. We are changed. Something happens. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, if you've never been immersed in the Holy Spirit, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you never sought for Him with all your heart, then all that I'm saying to you is Greek. It's just nice words. My dear brother and sister, you want to really experience the love of God, the immense love that God has for you, is willing to trade off the world, trade off creation. How much he loves you, we really have not been able, not even to touch the surface. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, the veil is taken away, and he shows us the glory of Jesus. And this doesn't show us the glory of Jesus and then goes away. He liberates us, he frees us. You can experience this. And what I'm telling you, I've experienced and I'm experiencing. And in the process, I'm being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And the next chapter, unfortunate chapter division, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, which ministry? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry showing us the glory of Jesus, showing us how much Jesus loves us, showing us His goodness. Every morning He shows me new mercies. showing us His steadfast love. Every situation when I think everything is going against me, I'm not in control. When I think I'm going to panic, when I think I'm, you know, my mind gets numb and I face situations that I'm trying to control, but I learn to let go, yield, whatever it may be. And then I taste more of the love of Jesus. So may the Lord help us, my brothers and sisters, to really, really experience what it means. John 17:23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me. I don't know it at all, but people are watching and they say, yeah, there's something different. But that's not what I'm looking for, that the Father loves me as much as He loved Jesus, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. I pray that you will experience it, and you cannot even touch the surface without the Holy Spirit. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:16, the veil is taken away. And I believe many of you sitting here listening to me, you still have a veil over your face. You understand a new covenant in your mind. You come to all the meetings, you listen to all the messages, you're blessed by Brother Zach's messages. And how much he's spoken about the new covenant. But here is the keystone of the new covenant. And if you don't experience this, you've not understood anything. If you don't experience that I have a Father who loves me just as exactly as He loved Jesus, He is not going to allow anything in my life that He is not in control of. You will never experience it. So I pray that God will open your eyes this morning, that you will turn to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the veil is taken away, and He shows you the glory of Jesus. Amen.
I'm sure many of our hearts have been warmed by what we heard this morning, that God is a God of love. It says in the Bible that God is love. And He loved us even when we didn't deserve it. Even while we were yet sinners, it says in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, He sent Jesus to die for us. And we also heard that God said that He will even trade nations for your sake and me. That is how much God loved. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, that what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So in God's sight, our soul is more valuable than the whole world. All its wealth and pomp and glory, everything put together. The whole world you outweigh when you both are put in the balance. That's how much God loves. And we also read in 17:23 of John that God loves us even as He loved Jesus. It's not just Jesus that He loved. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He need not have to say only to Jesus. He can say that about us if we love the Father like Jesus did and obeyed Him like Jesus did, and if we follow in His footsteps, the Father can say about us also, "This is my beloved Son and my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." That commendation we all can receive. And we saw that verse, John 17:23, that God loved me like He loved Jesus. I had read this many a time before I came to CFC, but when I came here, it came home to me very clearly that God really means what He says, that He loves me just like He loved Jesus. So there is no difference in God's love. The way He loved Jesus, He loves you and me when we seek to please Him. And it says that I in them, let's just imagine now, Father, Jesus, and me or you. And Jesus is telling, I in them, and you in me, so that they may know that you sent me. You know, this is something that's mind-boggling and we cannot fully comprehend it. How is it that God can be in the Father? I mean, Father can be in Jesus and Jesus can be in us. That's exactly what Jesus said in 15. Go back a couple of pages. John's Gospel 15, verse 9. Jesus said it. Just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. This is Jesus telling, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, and abide in my love. And He says in 14:23, turn one page back. In John 14:23, Jesus says here, if any man loves me, he will keep my word. See, many people say, I love Jesus. I love God. How do you prove that you really love Him? It's very clear here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. Jesus said that, just above that, that if you love me, in 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how I prove my love to Jesus. I just can't say, oh, I love God, I love Jesus. What's the proof, brother? What's the proof, sister? Somebody said that to me with so much of confidence that I love the Lord. And he asked, have you been baptized? He's a believer for a number of years. No. Well, how can you say? Jesus said, go and preach, and those who believe, baptize them, and those who believe will be saved. Baptize such people, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I say here that I love the Lord, and I am not even baptized, taken the first step. And then I am a liar, according to 1 John 1. Says if anybody says that he loves God and doesn't keep His commandments, doesn't obey Him, he is a liar, he is deceiving himself. And here Jesus is telling, a big if is there. This verse starts with if. Verse 23 of chapter 14. Jesus is telling here, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, or he will keep my commandment. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. It's the same as 17:23, what we read. I in them and you in me. The Lord Jesus is telling here, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandment, and then I will, my Father will love him, and we both will come to him and make our abode with him. Do you need anything better than this? The security, eternal security we talk about. Brother Ian said about VVIP security. They say Z security or Z plus security. This is way beyond that. The Father, Son and the Holy Spirit are in you and in me. And what more security you want? The creator of the whole universe, the one who runs the universe, is for you and is in you. Do you need any army? The whole world's army will not be able to stand before this one man, one man's army. You know that in the Old Testament we saw God sent just one ordinary angel against an enemy of Israel, and that man slew 185,000 enemy troops in one night. That's the power of one angel. Jesus said, "Don't you think I can ask the Father and he will send 12 legions of angels to deliver me?" But he didn't do that, even though he had the power to call 12 legions. One legion is 6,000. So 12 into 6,000, you see how many times over the world would have been destroyed. At that time, the population of the world was not even 1 billion. Today we are 8 billion. It was just a few millions. But Jesus didn't use that prerogative that he had as a Son of God. He came as a man and he voluntarily went to the cross. If he had not gone to the cross, we would not have had these promises and we wouldn't have had any hope for our future. Because of what Jesus has done, we have this future. And it says here further, the reason why God did all this so that we can be transformed. That is the verse that Brother Ian was about to read in 2 Corinthians. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You see, day by day we lose our physical strength. We become older by the day. Today you and I are older by 1 week than what we were last Sunday. Tomorrow we will be still older by another, next Sunday we will still be older by another week. We cannot help it because God has made it like that. Our outer man decays day by day, but the Lord wants our inner man, that our spirit, to be renewed day by day. And how do we renew, or how our inner man gets renewed day by day, is by obeying him and by keeping his commandments and by following him day by day. Then our spirit becomes stronger by the day and we become more and more like him. And the renewal of our mind is ultimately what God wants from us. In view of all this, my brethren, Paul says to Romans 12:1, he says, "By the mercies of God, I beg you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, and don't be conformed to this world system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, all transformation takes place in our mind. John says in 1 John 2:15, 16, 17, he says about loving the world. And if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that the world offers is the lust of the eyes, that is wanting to have everything that you see, and the lust of the flesh, and boastful pride of life, trying to show off. In the Message Bible, it comes out very clear. I'll read it to you. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Don't love the world and its ways, world's goods, love of the world. It will squeeze the love of God out of you. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear more important, has nothing to do with the Father. It isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. See, all of God's promises have conditions. There is no promise in God's word without a condition. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come, let him come unto me. If anyone, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, if that is your condition, you come to me, he said. And if any man wants to follow after me, he says, there is a condition, if he must take up his cross and follow me. There is no promise without a condition. It's not a blank check that God gives. And he says that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul says to Ephesians that God's will is that you may be renewed day by day. Your thought becomes purer, cleaner, and becomes more aligned with the Word of God and with the thoughts that God thinks. And in Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 it says again, and you have put on, he's speaking to those who have repented of their sins and are born again. He's talking to the believers, he's telling them, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So that is God's will. Ultimately, it is God's will that we all be conformed to the image of Christ. And for such people, these promises are, I just can't isolate that promise and say, yeah, God is with me. How do I know that God supports me, God is with me? If God is for us, who can be against me? We know that verse. But how do I know that God is supporting me? Is He supporting me from behind, or is He pushing me from the front? He's pushing me back. We have seen such cases here in the church when the elders tried to, you know, push a brother forward, propel him forward to take up more responsibility and give him greater responsibility. Then something was amiss. And they found later that they were fighting against God, as it were. It was the Lord who was pushing that man or those men back. But later on, they came to know that they were fighting against God, and then they left it. And God, the Bible says, resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And these brothers, whom the elders wanted to push forward and encourage them to take up more responsibility, they found that God was resisting them because there was something in their private life which had not been settled. There was sin in their private life. That's why God did not support them. So you want your help from the Lord, and you want the Lord to be on your side, and you want to be able to say, if God is for me, who can be against me? Then you do what the Lord says. Be on His side, in His team, and all these things will be A and Amen to you, all the promises of God. May God bless these words.